One must know they are already meant to be a leader. Welcome to Teacher to Leader with Brittany Roberts. Throughout my career, from teaching in the classroom to getting accepted into North Carolina State University Educational Leadership Academy, I gathered meaningful lessons and tools that would help teachers break through barriers and become the leader that they always wanted to be. Now I am ready to share them with you. You will take that step into leadership, and I will encourage you on your journey. This is Teacher to Leader. Let's lead. Hello, family. Welcome again to Teacher to Leader. I am excited. I have an awesome guest with us today. I have Jamal Maxim here with us, and he's actually going to be talking to us, you know, of course, about teacher leader and how we can put more into it so that way we can ignite that leadership. And that's kind of one of his initiatives that he kind of pushes. And so before we get started, what I do with my podcast is I say a quote that kind of just goes along with the title of the podcast will be for today. And of course, the title is The Journey. So the quote for today is, "Don't ignore your invitation to greatness," by Jamal Maxim. First question, hello, Jamal. It's good to have you on here with us. I'm going to tell everybody a little bit about you, and then we'll just kind of get started. So Jamal Maxim is a friend and mentor to leaders. He helps small businesses, business owners move from scattered exhaustion to energized focus and leading their team so they can once again feel invigorated while increasing the bottom line and moral stimulation. Jamal helps them lead like a champion. He is known for his ability to plan strategically, helping leaders to create action steps to accomplish their vision, develop their dream team, and unlock their authentic leadership. Jamal obtained his first leadership role at the age of 16, managing a fast food restaurant, leading his peers as well as adults. His success continued as he opened a new location of a franchise, recruiting and training team members, while resulted in several awards for sales and performance. Jamal shifted to education and continued to grow in the ability to develop people. He taught for 9 years, then served as a school principal. He has led a school with as many as 92 staff members, serving approximately 950 families. He also provided support to a school principal at a school that served approximately 2,000 families. In addition to running his own business, Jamal serves on the board of directors for a nonprofit organization. Jamal lives in Cincinnati, Ohio, with his wife, where they enjoy laughing and spending time together. So, Jamal, just the first question. Of course, that was an amazing intro. Know you are an amazing person. Just wanted to start off by asking you, why did you become a principal?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be on the podcast and allowing me to share and for quoting me. That's awesome. That was a nice surprise. So what started me to being a principal, or what led me to be a principal, is just the idea and the desire to have a greater impact. You know, I went into education because I wanted to help people live to their fullest potential. And education is one of the key ways you do that, because no matter what happens in a person's life, what you know and can apply and your skill sets are transferable. That never leaves. And so, you know, as I was teaching, I just felt the desire to want to impact more families, want to be more in the thick of the decisions that were being made, because I wanted to help be a part of decisions that were impactful and transformative, you know, for the kids we served. Because all of the students that I served when I was a teacher as well as a principal were students of low socioeconomic status. Those were the students that were 2 to 3 years behind, you know, in reading and math according to the state regulations and state assessments and all of that. And they were the students who sometimes didn't get everything they should out of a educational setting, because people either wanted to be too hard on them or too soft on them. And so I was the guy advocating to push them to greatness and do what was best. And so I wanted to have a greater voice in that. So that's what really led me to do it.
And Jamal, I'm amazed that you said that because I was that student that needed that principal to help me get to where I needed to be, of course, because I come from a home where I had a mom that was single that did a lot of the caretaking and pushing and getting me through school. And so that journey in school without someone leading you is very hard. And so just speaking of that, knowing that you're an amazing leader and you helped a lot of these families get through and help these children to get to where they need to be. I just want to ask you the question of, you know, is the journey easy? And, you know, if you're looking at the journey, you know, how did you navigate it? If it wasn't easy or if it was easy?
Yeah, it wasn't easy. And it's funny because there are two perspectives with this journey, because a lot of my time was in the charter school network. And then when I shifted to traditional public school, the mindset of that journey is totally different. And so in the charters, my specific journey, no, it wasn't easy because I was working full time, teaching classes, as well as taking classes to get my admin license and studying leadership. And realizing because of my background, there were things that, you know, admin programs are great. You know, they teach you what they can because no admin program is going to have you go for 4 years. I mean, they're just not. And so in those 2 years, they try to give you what you can, what they can. But I recognized that there were gaps in that instruction because, you know, I started out in business. And so, you know, courses that I had for a full year in business, I had maybe two classes in the admin prep program. And so just taking classes, earning a degree, teaching classes, and really trying to stay current with best practices of instruction, classroom management, and leadership. You know, it was a lot. It took a lot of time. It took a lot of my schedule. It was very heavy. You know, as you know, I'm married. I have a daughter. And so it took a lot of weight on the time I could spend with my family. But it was a sacrifice because I understood that this is what I needed to do. This is where I needed to be. And that the sacrifice now would pay off later. And I just had to be real good with time management. I was doing homework on my prep and everything else.
So. And I'm actually learning that right now as I'm going through my administration program. I'm doing homework while I'm prepping, while I'm getting ready for class. I'm trying to learn things outside of what I have because, of course, I didn't start on the path. I started the path like you did. You know, I worked in fast food, was going through college at the same time, trying to, you know, do sports so I can pay my way through school. I didn't stay on the right path of education the whole time that I was in school. And so it was like, I wanted to do physical education. And then I wanted to exercise sports science, of course. End up getting the exercise sports science, but it didn't have really that thoroughness I needed for education. So that way I know how to be a great leader. And so I, just speaking of that and thinking about the gaps that was there, but you still navigated and you still became that great leader because of you're doing all these things. So I just want to ask you a question, you know, what makes a great leader? Because it's really not the program. What makes a great leader?
That's a great question, because like you just said, it is not the program. I had, as a quick story, I had a teacher that was in the same program that I graduated from and had the same supervisor that I had when I was getting my admin license. And the funny thing is so I was giving her this experience with leading and trying to get her to take initiative on some stuff, be the visionary, just to really learn that. Because I recognized she hadn't, which in that district, the perspective was, as soon as I get my admin license, then I'll learn how to be a leader, which is what she said to me, which was so funny because I asked her a question. She was like, well, I'll know how to do that once I get my license. And then I had to remind her, we're in education. You have to learn how to do it. And then the license is evidence that you've demonstrated mastery of this skill. And so it was that mindset. And so programs do not make the good leader. They give you information. To me, there are two things that make a good leader. One is your ability to be yourself. There are so many teachers out there of leadership and a lot of great information, but you cannot blanketly apply those principles to your life. You have to be able to see how they fit you and your unique personality and how you operate in them. Because trying to be something you're not is the quickest way for people to not trust you. And so, number one, you have to be yourself. You have to be comfortable with being yourself. And, you know, my second thing is you have to be committed to growing, but understand that there are parts of you that will grow and there are parts of you that will not, because there are certain parts of your DNA that won't change. There's this test that I really like called the Kobe test. I mean, it is awesome. I like that better than DISC and all the other ones out there. And it measures your natural tendencies. And so, like for me, my natural tendency is to create a system and to explain. And so, if I'm like, if I can't, you know, try to do something that I'm not. And so I know that these are my natural tendencies. I explain. And before I accomplish a task, I need to plan it out and strategize. That's what I do. And trying to be something that I'm not is not good for me, not good for the people I'm leading. So you have to recognize that when you're learning these principles that are being taught about leadership, about, you know, how leadership is influenced. That's what John Maxwell teaches, and the different levels of leadership, how they have to give you permission, and positional leadership is the lowest form of leadership. When you're learning all of that, you have to really think, how does this apply to my natural tendencies, to my personality? How does this fit? Instead of just John Maxwell said, I need to write notes, so I'm gonna go write a note. But if that's not you, then it ain't you. And that's not me. And some teachers wanted me to leave notes on their desk, but I was like, that's not me. You'll get an email, but not a note, because I don't like handwriting anything. So I mean, that's what you got. And so just take the thought, take the words, and be okay. And so I think, so learning how to apply, being yourself, and really, you know, being okay with your weaknesses and understanding that it's a journey. And leadership is one of those positions where you grow in front of people, you make mistakes in front of people, you have to apologize to people. Everybody else gets to make their mistakes behind closed doors, and you cover them. You don't get that same kind of covering. And so you have to be okay with making those mistakes in front of people, owning your stuff, while not allowing people to push their stuff on you, because you can't own what's not yours. And so, I mean, that's a whole different story right there, but don't do it.
And that was a great story. You kind of definitely brought some things that resonated with me, because of course, going into leadership, I was afraid that I couldn't be my authentic self. And yeah. I'm always bubbly every day, and I always like coming in with a smile, and I always like telling people they did a good job. You know, I've seen it done where, you know, leaders don't do that. Sometimes sometimes they're straight, they're too neutral. Serious. You don't have any personality. And it's just like, how do you follow someone that doesn't really kind of pull that oomph out of you? And of course, I've quoted in before I started this podcast, you know, that great leaders take you to where you don't want to go, but ought to be. Yes. And that is what authentic leadership is. And that's what you explained. You know, you don't have to be something you're not, but be something that you are, and help people get to where they need to be, where you
absolutely
are. And yes. So that is amazing. And just speaking of that, authentic leadership, talking about being that leader that's a great leader. But I know I play sports, and I was on the field. And of course, I was a great player, but I wanted to be a champion player. I wanted to be that player that did everything I could to win each game. And I wanted to do it. And so that's how I look at leadership and how I try to push teachers. You want to be the best you can be. You want to bring your excellence to the table at all time.
Yeah.
And so I say, don't just be a great teacher, but be a champion teacher. And so you are the igniter of champion leaders.
Yes.
And what I did on the field was I ignited my team that I wanted this championship. I wanted to win. And so just how do you pull that out of people? How do you pull that ignite to be a champion?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I believe everyone has the capacity to be a champion. And I believe that there is a champion inside each one. They just have to, one, have the desire. Because like you said, you had the desire when you were on the field. Because if somebody doesn't want it, then you can't give it to them. You can't force feed them. You can't make them do it. But First thing I do is really look at the desire. If people have that hunger, that desire to really be their fullest potential, those are the people I can work with. Okay, you hungry, you ready to put some action. You're not going to just talk about it. You're going to be about it. We're not going to talk about the same thing for 3 weeks because that's not working. And so the first thing I look at, that desire, I also look at if the person is going to follow through. Now, what I do is I tap into their unique gifts because everyone is gifted uniquely, which is where the authenticity comes in. And so I look at their strengths and where they're uniquely gifted, and I really have them work in that vein, that they're not trying to, again, be something they're not. They're not trying to present themselves as how they think a leader should be, like how you were saying some leaders are stuffy and things like that and oh, too serious. Well, it's because they're trying to live up to some image of leadership that they've seen or somebody has told them that they are supposed to be like. And so I throw all of that out the window. It's like, you need to be you. Let's tap into your gifts. Let's let you use them to the fullest. And then the part where you are not strong, that's not your gifting. Like if you're not highly organized, then we need to put somebody that's highly organized with you. You know, if you're not a visionary, we need to stick you with a visionary. And so I really set them up for success by letting them know what their lane is. Because when people understand their lane and get comfortable with who they are and what they can do, it builds this momentum because they will see success. And then as they're seeing success and it builds the momentum, their confidence builds, excitement builds, and then they're just free to be who they are. Because one thing I believe is that as a leader, and I believe all leaders need to be free because we serve people so much, we care so much, leaders eat last, all this other stuff. But a lot of leaders aren't really free because they are so concerned about caring for the people they lead, which they should be, but they're also concerned about what people think and recognizing that people would take them and not recognizing that people would take them on an emotional roller coaster. You know, today they love you. You're the greatest. You know, thank you for affirming them. Tomorrow they don't like you. You don't consider their decisions. Their voice is not heard. Well, how did that flip in 24 hours? Was because they're in an emotional place or dealing with emotional stuff. And then you as the leader, sometimes you are the one who gets that baggage because they just dump it on you because they don't know who the blame. So you get blamed. You become their emotional stress ball. And so leaders have to be free from that and say, look, I'm not buying into what I just finally call it foolishness. I'm not buying into the foolishness. I'm going to let you be you. I'm going to be emotionally aware. I'm here for you. I'm caring for you. But I'm not letting your actions or words take me out of my space that I need to be in, that I can flow well as a leader and have me question myself or jumping through all of these hoops because there's something going on with you. You know, so I just think, you know, so I ignite that passion. I help them stay in their lane and really help them understand while everything rises and falls on leadership, that's true. But a bunch of stuff ain't your fault. And if it ain't your fault, don't make it your fault and be okay with it.
And Jamal, I'm glad you said that because I was just thinking about in my program, I'm learning how to lead from the inside out. Yes. And you got to get what's going on within here right before you can lead anybody on the outside, because if it ain't right in here, it ain't right on the outside, and you just approved that is right. And I'm glad you said that. And it sounds like, well, it is, you have a formula to how leadership is supposed to be done, how you're supposed to be a champion leader. And so I just wanted you, I'm all about giving tools to teachers, and I create this podcast because I want to give a toolkit for the teachers so that way they can be pushed into that leadership role. Yeah. And so just thinking of your champion leadership system, can you explain that to us?
Yes.
So that way we can take those tools and help teachers be that leader they want to be.
Absolutely. And it is a formula, and this formula came from not just study, but it came from experience, came from a lot of trial and error, came from taking a lot of stripes, you know, not the good stripes, the bad stripes. And so basically, I believe there's a model of leadership that is balanced, or some people want to call it harmonious or aligned, whatever the term is. There is a structure of leadership that I like to say balanced, because what I've seen is I've seen people operate as dictators, do what I say because I'm the leader. That's not a good form of leadership. And so you have to be able to connect with people. You have to be able to have relationship. But then I've seen it go the other way, to where it's so warm, fuzzy. You know, I was in a building where one of the admin would say, tell the teachers all the time, the best professional development is down the hall, which is true in a sense. I'm going to leverage your skills and have you lead some PDs that can bring your team and other teachers, you know, to a higher level in an area that's your skill. But if I say that all the time without saying, or you know, providing opportunity for that person to grow beyond their current level of skill, they're going to have this I'm the all that kind of syndrome. And then they're wondering why they're not rated excellent on every evaluation. I'm like, you didn't do everything that was in the rubric. Sorry. And so it has to be this balance, because what I've seen is when people try to be too relational, it becomes too warm, fuzzy. They can't hold people accountable for performance. They can't have a tough conversation because they don't want to damage the relationship. And that's not healthy either. If I can't tell you the truth, then it's not really a healthy relationship. And so I believe this framework is a balanced approach in the middle. It starts with one, learning how to take care of people, is about creating a dream team, realizing you can't be everywhere. You can't do everything. You don't have to be the encyclopedia of all knowledge as the principal, and don't even try. You can't answer every phone call. You can't get into every classroom and do an observation every single day. It just doesn't happen. I mean, in the building I was leading, I would do 15 minute, you know, I like to spend time in the classroom. So I would be in there for 15 minutes or so. It would take me a month to get to every single class because of how many classrooms there were. So I couldn't be everywhere. So first is recognizing you can't be everywhere. You can't be everything. So you create your dream team, which means you take the people I know we have building leadership teams and TBT leaders and all of that. And some of them become TBT leaders because nobody else wanted it. I mean, you know, I know how that goes. And then some of them really want it. And so, but you take that group, however they got there, and you make them your dream team. You start teaching them how to be leaders of themselves, how to lead their teams. You cast vision, give them input on decisions, and you make it clear when they express themselves to you, if you can't do something that they suggested, you make it clear. I heard you, but we got to do this. And so they don't run with this. Well, we never do my suggestions, or I'm not heard. I mean, once you explain that, and if they still go there, I'm sorry. I help you through it emotionally, but that's a you, not a me. And so first you develop your dream team. And you allow them to be extensions of your leadership, not copycats and imitators of you. They have to learn how to lead in their own right and let their leadership be an extension of your leadership. And so that when people see you leading and people see them leading, they'll say, man, that squad is tight. I mean, they're on point because you have common goals, common vision, common language, but in within that commonality or unity, there's still individual expression of who each person is, because it allows them to be their best version of them. Then the second thing is you have to develop yourself, because you have to keep constantly growing, learning leadership, not just instructional leadership. Now, this is a thing I've cried out for years in school districts, and folks was asking me why we reading Simon Sinek books and why we looking at John Maxwell books, because they're talking about leadership. And so they were like, well, I came to be a teacher. Yes, but you got to lead. You can't lead your team if you don't know how to lead, just like you can't teach reading if you don't know how to instruct reading. And so the second framework is you have to grow in your ability to lead. Curriculum is important. Classroom management is important. School culture is important. Budgeting is important, because those are things you're going to have to do as a principal. I mean, all of that is important. Dealing with parents who would trip on you, that's important. Learning that customer service aspect and having your office, I mean, the main office, look a certain way, that's inviting the parents and professional, and learning how to deal with your staff, I mean, your secretarial staff as well. And so all of that comes from growing as a leader yourself. And then the third thing is you got to have processes in place. It's not good to be a visionary and have a great team without a system in place that supports your leadership and your leadership team. You got to have stuff clicking, because especially the larger the school, the more moving parts. And one small thing, minute change, will mess up everything. Trust. I mean, when at my last school, there were so many moving parts and so many different schedules, and somebody wanted to come in for something, for one thing, and it would throw off lunch for two grade levels down the road. And so it's like, so you have to have your processes, your procedures in place. You got to know, okay, what happens? What do we do when? What's our process for academic intervention? What's our process for behavioral intervention? How do we get the desired behavior? How do we teach kids the appropriate behavior? What do we do when they don't demonstrate it? Because behavior isn't a, if you do this, then this. A lot of people want that, but it's not that simple. So you have to have some kind of framework that outlines what your behavior plan or tier would be, but knowing that the people who are doing the discipline are going to take it case by case, because there are factors in each instance that a lot of teachers don't think about. This kid yelled at me, or he told me to shut up, or he ran out of class. Yeah, he did run out of class, but did he tell you that just yesterday he saw his daddy with his daddy's second family, and when he hadn't saw him for 6 months, and then all of a sudden he see his daddy across the street with some other woman, some other family, and act like he didn't know him, and now he in class mad, and then you said something to him because he didn't want to answer a question, and he was like, forget it, I'm out. And so, yeah, he ran out to class, ran out the building too, and through the woods, and had me chasing him. And so that happens. But no, I'm not going to suspend him for that. We're going to talk that through now. And so you got to have processes in place, and then you got to have strategy. You know, the thing about the last school that I led, that principal, before I came, she did all of the same things I was doing at another school to turn her school around. So by the time I got there, the school was like the top school in the district. I came in as an assistant, and people were like, how can you be an assistant when you were just a principal? Easy. I'm going to enjoy not having the final say so. I'm going to enjoy have a month off again during the summer, and I'm going to enjoy leaving at a certain time. And so it was great. And then that next year she relocated, and then I became the principal. And so what happened with that was there had to be strategy. They were like, we're going to grow our kids. We're growing our kids. We're seeing them grow. Okay. So I was asking the question, how much are they going to grow this year? They're just going to grow. Well, the state of Ohio is saying they need to be here. And based on our data, they're here. And we're audio, so I'm doing hand gestures like people can see the video. But the state of Ohio says that they should be at one place, but the data is indicating that they're at a lower place. And so just growing the kids is not enough. And so what I was able to do at that time is I put a percent value on that. I said, look, okay, based on the resources we have, based on everybody's ability to adapt, we're going to grow each kid by a year and a half by the end of this school year. Now, I like to be more aggressive, and I was in certain instances where we would say 2 years in 1 year, but it all depended upon the resources and the teacher's ability to use those resources effectively. So in this setting, it was like, okay, a year and a half. And so I put a percent on it, which meant at the beginning of the year, we did culture camp where we taught expectations, I did expectation station and do all that kind of fun stuff, and then kind of got the kids back into school. That was our first 2 weeks. But here, boom, week three, we're assessing. Okay, I'm not a fan of over-testing, but I do believe you have to assess to know where they are. And I do believe assessments are only one data point. But so we got that data point at the beginning of the year, and then so we set the goal. Here's where they're starting. A year and a half or 150% from here is where they need to be come spring. And so each kid had an individualized goal, and I would ask them, and I related everything to that goal. When I was on the morning announcements, I would say, look, remember, by the end of this school year, you're going to grow a year and a half. And then when kids would have to see me for discipline, I would ask them, okay, is this going to help you meet your academic goal? Yes or no? And a kid be like, no. Okay, then what you going to do? Because midway through, if you hit the midway point, we having a party. I got DJs coming. We're going to have balloons and the fancy lights and ice cream and music. And you're going to be sitting in your class mat. Or what you going to do at the end of the year when we go on this trip for hitting your goal? And so, of course, we put those incentives in there to motivate them. But kids knew what their goal was. They had it on their desk. You know, I was asking them about it. Teachers were asking them about it. I would ask kids when I would do walkthroughs or observations, I will make it a point to ask students certain questions. What are you learning? You know, so they would have to tell me what the I can statement was. Okay, why is it important? Were you paying attention when the teacher explained why this content is important? How do you know your work is good? So how do you know you met that standard? And what are you going to do to take it to the next level? Okay, if I didn't meet the standard, what am I going to do to improve? If I hit it, how do I go above and beyond? Those are four questions I ask kids every time. And that all went with my strategy, because you can't grow a school without strategy. And so a lot of times we jump in and say, hey, we're just going to grow the kids and see them grow. But if you don't have that specific target and aren't intentional about how much you want them to grow, you won't see the results you want to see. And so that's why I created this balanced framework, because it applies everywhere. You got to lead other, create a dream team, lead yourself, put procedures in place, and have some strategy.
And Jamal, everything you said confirms us that you are the Fundy of leadership, which is just like you paved the path, you've lived it, you've walked it, you've been it, you breathe it, and that is so important and powerful. And these tools are just nuggets for me, myself. This is a testimony for me, because this just makes me even more passionate about, I cannot wait till I do my internship, because what you're saying is what I want to implement into what I want to do to be my authentic self and be my best. And something that you kind of threw me too was you said something about how can we, you know, change the culture of our schools? How can we give this thought of, I want my kids to be here? It's not that I have a vision, but I know where I want my kids to be. And you put that in place, because you can't just say a vision. You have to have a way of how to get to that vision. And you've given us steps, and you've given us that formula. So how we can get there. And all those steps are so important. And I didn't even look at that like that, like having the vision and then just actually setting a goal that the kids have to meet, and then be strong about that vision. Don't just say, hey, this is where I want kids to be and they'll get there. No, be passionate about them. Have the kids to be passionate about it too. So that is so important. That's about thought leadership, thinking about it, thinking through it, understanding by design, thinking backwards, forwards. And that's what you implemented into your steps. And so that's so powerful. And Jamal, I want to ask you this question too, because after what you said, it made me think about, what would you say to a teacher that didn't want to take that step into leadership? How would you encourage them to? Because you got so much good stuff and you make it seem so easy. And I know it's not, but what would you say to push a teacher to get into that leadership?
Well, it depends. I mean, if they are hesitant because they think it's going to be hard, but they know that's really where they're supposed to be, then I would encourage them to do it. Because there's two type of challenges you're going to deal with in life. The challenge of walking in your purpose, or the challenge of not walking in your purpose and not being where you're supposed to be, and looking up years from then and realizing how short you've come to living up to your fullest potential. Because in purpose is potential. Your potential is realized and demonstrated when you stay in the place of purpose. And so So that person who's hesitant, but they know they're supposed to do it, I tell them, look, do it. Take the leap of faith. It's not going to be perfect. You're not going to be the greatest leader ever at the beginning, because you're going to grow. I've heard a business coach say it this way. You're going to iterate your way to awesome. And so you're going to keep growing and changing over a period of time and become a greater version of awesomeness that you already are. Because sometimes it takes time to let the champion that's in you get out, because that champion has been in that room so long. It's like the champion is trapped in an escape room and you're like trying to give him clues on how to get out, but you just got to let him out. And sometimes it takes time because we have to grow and increase our capacity to handle greater degrees of greatness. Because if you became an instant super famous principal overnight without certain levels of growth on the inside, you wouldn't be able to handle it. So you got to just take your time. You got to allow yourself to grow over time and be okay with making mistakes. Like I said earlier, laugh at yourself. Don't take it too serious. And don't get into the foolishness. Don't allow the excess stuff that people try to put on you as a principal become your thing. Just don't let it. Don't let it be your thing, because there is so much extra that people try to push on us principals. It's like they think you're supposed to be everything to everybody, and they think the school is supposed to be the solve, can create world peace. Well, the school doesn't do that. The school... And that was the thing I focused on. As a school leader, the primary function of a school is to educate. My primary function is not to feed kids that are hungry, give them clothes, help them find counselors or anything like that. That's not my primary function. And I know that may seem kind of radical and rough, because somebody's probably like, what, did he just say that? You know, but yes, I did. Because the primary function is to educate. Imagine if we gave every kid that came through our buildings clothing and food. That's great. Their immediate Maslow need would be met. But if they did not learn anything, they would be behind. And as it compounds, because, you know, they say, you know, after a certain point, like if they didn't understand third grade reading, they won't pass fifth grade math. If they don't pass fifth grade math, they won't pass eighth grade, whatever. And then it compounds, and then they eventually drop out. And now we have someone in society that can't take care of themselves. And so trying to do whatever they can, or earning a wage very less than what they deserve, because we didn't give them an education. So yeah, I can feed you today, but me giving you an education is going to make sure you can eat today and tomorrow. And so to help with that other stuff, you partner with people to do that. Okay, you need some food. Let me give you the number of the group we're partnered with that's going to help you get some food. You need clothing? Oh, we got a number for you. You need a counselor? Let my social worker talk to you. And then, you know, if you choose to go get some counseling services, that's on you. But my function, my focus has to be, now you want to learn some stuff? We going to get you to learn some stuff. We going to get you into science. We going to get you to reading and understanding what you read, interpreting what you read, writing and speaking, and we're gonna get you to doing all of that, because that's our specialty. And so I tell aspiring principals and new principals, don't get caught up into this thing of trying to be everything and trying to the school being the answer to everything and the school being the parents to the kids. Your job is not to parent the kids. You take care of them, you love them, you teach them, they go home to their mama. You know, that's it. And so that's what I would say. But if a person is not called, doesn't feel that calling to leadership, but just kind of like, then I would say don't do it. Because again, you got to be in purpose. And if that's not your vein, your lane, and if that's not your thing to be in leadership, then you're only going to hurt yourself and hurt other folks leading when you're not supposed to.
I like that. I like that saying. You just kind of take me to church a little bit too, because God puts you on those paths that you're supposed to be on. And if you feel that tugging, you sometimes got to take that calling. And so that is good to kind of hone into what is my purpose? Asking that question, you know, what is my purpose? Am I supposed to be here? And if I definitely say, like you said, if you've had some impact in your school, or if you've been leading in your school, or you've done something in your school, that might be your calling. You just honestly got to take that step. Yeah. And actually, you know, and like you said that word radical. Sometimes you got to be radical about your purpose and where you want to be at. And so that is very powerful. And we appreciate you being here today, Jamal. I just want to kind of throw out there too, if you haven't already, please check out JamalMaxim.org. You can go to his website. You can check him out. And it's JamalMaxim.org. He's on Facebook. He's on Instagram, also Twitter and LinkedIn if you want to contact him and get more information about this powerful champion leadership system, because it definitely will change your thought and your mind process. And I appreciate you being here because you definitely have made me not ignore my invitation to greatness. We appreciate having you today. And we hope to see you soon again. I will be getting with you because you are very, very, very much a tool, just like a bucket of knowledge that just needs to be kept around so that way leaders can be the best they can be. Are there any last words you have before we get off with our Teacher to Leader fans?
Yes. Well, Brittany, thank you so much again. This is an honor to be able to share, and thank you for just being you and who you are. You know, I know that you're learning, you're growing, and you're on your path, and you're walking in your greatness, and your greatness as a leader is going to increase as you continue, you know, and just pulling some things, you know, out, which was awesome. So I really thank you for that. But also I want to speak directly to the listeners. So those who are listening are probably, you know, either feel that sense or calling to leadership, or they feel like they want to have a greater impact, because that's what it feels like. That's what it felt like for me. You know, some say I want to be a principal because the kids deserve better, or they might say they want to be a principal because they don't like the principal they're serving with. You know, whatever the reason is, I encourage you to really, really take the time to hone in, not just on being a principal, a school leader, but understanding the type of school leader you're going to be, and to stay with that. Because the whole theme of this thing has been about authenticity and not allowing clutter and junk and everything else to cloud who you really are. So I would encourage you to go after that passion, go and be passionate about it, be radical about it, be okay with taking a stance that's not popular, be okay with speaking things that your immediate circle or even peers might not get with, because there are some things you may say or think and you may seem like you're the oddball, but then you'll go to a model schools and hear Bill Daggett or somebody say the exact same thing, you know, or you might go to another conference and hear Principal Kafili says the exact same thing, and you'd be like, wait a minute, I'm not crazy. It's not just me. And so it's okay. It's okay to be the trailblazer. It's okay sometimes to be the only one, knowing that you really are not the only one. And so just continue to grow, stay passionate, stay humble as you grow. Don't let influence change who you are. The more you're influenced, the more responsibility. And so don't let it get to your head. Let it get to your heart. And that's it.
Well, you've heard it here first. Jamal said it. Igniting of champion leaders. We are doing it here, and this is Teacher to Leader. Hello, family. Thank you again for listening to Teacher to Leader. You can find my show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. I would love for you to subscribe so you know when my next episode comes out, and also share with your family and friends and coworkers as we endeavor in giving teachers the confidence to lead.